Book of Galatians, the book of Galatians, as we continue in chapter 5 of our study. We're going to be looking at three verses this morning. I try to move along, but I try to do paragraph by paragraph studies, and we've hit a paragraph of three verses this morning, verses 13 through 15 of Galatians chapter 5, and we have in these three verses the life of liberty. The life of liberty. Last week we dealt with verses 6 through 12 and the characteristics of liberty thieves. The characteristics of liberty thieves. I want to reread those verses of Scripture and then read verses 13 through 15 for our study today, beginning at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would work in this morning, in this church, among your people. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we look at the life of liberty, that we might have a true understanding of what liberty is, and that we might have an understanding of what it means to serve others and to not allow our liberty become a license to sin. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would work among our hearts. We pray that you would draw us closer unto you, that we might indeed walk step by step with thee, that we would not run ahead of thee nor lag behind, but that we might walk with thee throughout the pathway of life, so that we might be a blessing to others, that we might bring honor and glory to thy precious name. But we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are three ways to live. Three ways to live that we have learned about here in the book of Galatians. First of all is the way of legalism. That's trying to obey the law in order to have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's one way to live. That was the way of the Judaizer. The Judaizer came into the churches of Galatia and they said, listen, Paul didn't go far enough in his communication of this gospel of salvation. You must keep the law. You must follow the precepts and the rites and the ceremonies of the law if you're going to please God. If you're going to honor Him, you have to keep the law. There's just one problem with that. The Bible says that what pleases Him is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. It takes no faith to perform a rite. It takes no faith to keep a law. You can keep a law and have a heart of unbelief. People do it all the time. There is the way of the legalist. I've got to follow the law. I've got to keep the law if I'm going to please the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can please God is by exercising faith in Jesus Christ. Living by faith. Now, when you have a heart of faith, a heart that's been transformed by Jesus Christ, you have no problem obeying God's commands. But it's possible to do all the commands and die and go to hell. Let me show you something from the book of Galatians. Turn over there, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to see, beginning at verse 1, these first few verses here, dealing with this principle of God's Word, that you can keep the law and die and go to hell. You can do all the right things and die and go to hell. Look, notice this, please. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am what? Say it, please. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now this emphasis that the Apostle Paul is going to give us today in verses 13 through 15 is on love. Liberty and love. Now we said there are three ways to live. There is the legalist way to live. That's where you try to keep all the commands and you try to do all the things you're supposed to do, but you're doing it in the flesh. You're doing it because you think that's the only way I'm going to be able to please God. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. If you are not exercising faith and you're not doing it in love, love produced by the Spirit of God through the power of the Spirit of God, then it's all for naught. That's one way to live. Then there's a second way to live. That's through license. Where we just do whatever we please. That's what a lot of people like to do. They like to talk about Jesus. They like to come to church. They like to have the name Christian, but basically they just live to please themselves. That's license. And they say, well, you know, Jesus saved me from my sin, and so I'm on my way to heaven, and then I can just do whatever I want to do. That's not a person that's been saved. A person that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb doesn't think that way. That's a second way to live. And then there is the life of liberty. The life of liberty. And that's what is given to us here in these three verses of Scripture that we want to emphasize. That is the way of Christ. You see, legalism is empowered by emotions. It's all about emotional power. You know what makes these seminars so popular all across America about these seminars where you can be a better person in the workplace and you can be a person that people like to be around and you can win friends and influence people? It's all about what? Emotions. It's stirring up the emotions, and that's what empowers legalism. It's emotion. How did they get the people in Galatians to leave the truth and start following error? We read about that in the early verses here of chapter 5, verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. They worked on the emotions of the people of Galatia, and they began to move toward error. Listen, folks, this is so important. As a teacher in the classroom, you better not be empowered by emotions because you'll give out within the first month. You go in there and you just try to be Mr. Energy or Miss Energy and you're just running all over the place and you're doing it in the power. Guess what? In a month, you'll be the one that's dragging in.
Good morning, class.
That will be you because you're not empowered by the Spirit of God. You're just trying to do it through emotionalism. Then you have license. That's the work of the lust of the flesh. That's the empowerment of the flesh. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of power in the flesh. There's a lot of power. It builds buildings. It grows huge crowds. It impresses thousands upon thousands of people. Folks, don't underestimate the power of the flesh. The powerful flesh is a force to be reckoned with. And you can live that way. And you can go places and you can make money and you can be successful and it all be empowered by the flesh and die and bust hell wide open. Possible. Happens every day. I have a habit where I go online and I check the obituaries of the day to see what famous people may have passed away. And there's, you know, you read all of the different things about the individuals and what they've done. And you realize that those people are lost without Christ. All that for naught. What is a cure for some disease going to mean in relationship to eternity when Jesus Christ does away with all sickness? All the pioneering efforts, all of the empowerment that has been given in the medical field or in the science field, what is that going to mean in eternity? When the Lord Jesus Christ makes out. And I'm not saying that we ought not to strive for those things. But let's not get enamored with what the flesh can do. Alright? Let's not get enamored with that. Because Jesus Christ is going to do away with all sickness one day. He's going to do away with all the limitations that we have on this earth because of gravity. That's all going to be taken care of. You see? The Lord's going to take care of that. Let's not get enamored with all of that. That's the flesh. And notice, please, that the way of liberty, the life of liberty, that's empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the kind of life that we are to live here upon this earth, a life empowered by the Spirit of God. Now let's look at these verses of Scripture here as we see the foundation of Christian living. For brethren, ye have been called unto, which way of life? Legalism? No. License? No. What is the way in which we have been called? Would you say it, please? Liberty. Liberty. Freedom. The fullness of Christ's love moving us to love others and to serve Him. In other words, emptiness of self. That's what liberty is. Liberty is where you let God get a hold of your heart and He starts emptying you of you. Well, you're not the first consideration in all things. Now, you talk about a change of life for most people. Most people live where they're the first consideration of the day. We all do it. We want to be the first at this, or we want to be the first at that. We want people to think about us first. Well, we're going to find out that in the life of liberty here, it's not us that is first, it's others. The life of love, that's liberty. Some people are living in bondage to themselves. They only live for their self. They only live for their needs to be met. They only live that they're going to be happy. And you know what? There's a lot of people in church that are just like that. There are a lot of people that are standing in pulpits that are just like that. They live for themselves. They're looking after their selves. They want to be seen among men, and so they go down the pathway where they will be seen of men. They know how to do it. They know how to do it. That's not the life of liberty, though. That's a life of bondage. A life of bondage, because you see, when you go down those trails, there's certain things you don't say. There's certain things you don't do, you keep quiet about, because then it won't happen. It won't happen. We got to take care of number one. And so we're willing to compromise the truth of God's Word. We're willing to cut corners. We're willing to trim the way to seek love of men. Now, license is fullness of self. Freedom is fullness of Christ. License is fullness of self. And we have this contrasted here in these verses of Scripture. Now notice, please. We have been called unto liberty. We have been called unto freedom in Jesus Christ. But notice, please. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know how many times that command right there gets violated every day? How that command gets violated? We'll see something that we really want, and we don't have the means to get it. So we start figuring out, what contacts do I have that I can work myself in and I can get what I want? I don't have the means to do it, but I sure want it. And I'm going to start calling in some things here so I can get it. You know what that is? Bondage. It's not seeking the Lord. It's not saying, Lord, maybe you don't want me to have that. No, that's not even in the consideration, you see. It's all about self. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to call in whatever chips I've got to call in because I'm going to have it. That's bondage. That's not freedom. That's using liberty for license. To get self happy. To make self satisfied. That is not liberty in Jesus Christ. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, because it's easy to do. It's easy to do. To use what we have in Jesus Christ to get what we want. The Bible commands against that. It's very clear. This is foundational. You're called to liberty, but be careful with that liberty that you don't use it as an opportunity for your flesh to be exhibited. And my, how the flesh loves to come to the top. You can go and take flesh to the back seat. All right, flesh, let's go. We're not going to be up in the front row today. We're going to go put flesh. And you know what? Flesh is never satisfied to sit in the back seat. Never. It'll find a way to climb over to get back up to the front so it can get its way. The Bible talks about this in the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 7 is about how we take care of the flesh that wants to get from the back seat up to the front seat. Paul said, I want to do good. I want to do good, but I just can't do it. And then Romans chapter 8 solves the problem. You've got to crucify the flesh, and you must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is the same direction that Paul is going here in Galatians chapter 5. He is moving us to the Spirit, that we are not to trust the flesh, that we are not strong enough to keep the flesh in the back seat of the bus. The flesh will always find a way. It has to be crucified with Christ. It has to be killed. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. So we have a negative command and a positive command here. The negative command, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. The positive command, through love, be servants of one another. Now you talk about a paradox here. Paul, you just got through saying that we have been called unto liberty. And now you're telling us that we are to be servants. Liberty, servant. Those two things don't go together. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Whenever it is done in Christ Jesus according to God's Word. And we're going to develop that. This is the main point of the passage right here. Through love, be servants of one another. We're not to think of other people in the church as stepping stones upon which we're going to trample to get what we want. We're not going to use this brother or sister in the church, and this happens all the time. That's why there's hurt feelings. Oh, so-and-so. Oh, they've got an inroad to this, and that's what I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to ask them, and they're going to get it for me, and it's all about self, getting something out of this person, and when you use them up... Back to whatever. Who else can I get that can get me what I want? Instead of looking at people as an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify Christ, how can I help that brother or sister? Instead of what can I get from that brother or sister? One comes from a framework of bondage. The other one comes from a framework of freedom. The framework of freedom is how can I serve? The framework of bondage is how can I be served? How can I be served? And that philosophy of life will tell you on which side of the fence you're on when it comes to this matter of liberty. What side of the fence are you on? Now, there are support for these two commands, and we're going to get to those in just a moment in the following verse. For it reads in verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now that's a positive. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. And then there's a negative command in that regard. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by another. Now let's look at the paradox of liberty here. The paradox of liberty. You have been called unto liberty, but love one another and serve them. Service. Same word, root word we get our word slave from. It's given to us here. Now, you were called to freedom from servitude. Now in love, submit to servitude in liberty. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Why is love that serves the needs of others the God-given way that Christian freedom expresses itself? That's what the Apostle Paul. Christian freedom expresses itself in service to others. Now, isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul here does not use the first principle of the law, and that is what? Love the Lord God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first principle of the law. Upon these two pillars, we read about in Matthew, where the Lord Jesus Christ was talking, he says, if you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself, upon these two pillars is the whole law built. Which one does Paul use here? Does he take us back to that which is talking about loving the Lord with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and strength? No. He's talking about the other part. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Because Paul understood something that not very many people understand. Paul understood how the flesh works. The flesh loves to come back and be in preeminence. And so he says, using the principle upon which the law is built, all right, you Galatians want to live under the law. You want to keep the law. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? He's putting it on a level where these people can grasp and understand. Do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? You know, we really do love ourselves. This nonsense about, well, they've got a problem, they don't love themselves. That is utter nonsense. The Bible makes it clear that we love ourselves. It's a foundational understanding. We love ourselves, now love your neighbor like you love yourself. You know the kind of attention that you give to yourself? It's an amazing thing. No matter where you go, people are always giving attention to themselves. They're always looking at how they look. You know, they're doing this thing. Just a few minutes ago, I had a little dust powder over here on my sleeve here, and I took it and brushed it off. Why? Because I don't want people to see the big dust ball up here on my sleeve. I want them to pay attention to me, right? You see how the old heart is? We don't want to draw attention, so we want to make sure that we are perfect. We get up in the morning and we do all the things to ourselves. We eat, we drink, we primp ourselves. We want to make sure we look good when we go out. And then throughout the day we think about ourselves, we look to ourselves. It's the natural thing to love yourself. Now, we are to in turn turn that energy from ourselves to our what? Our neighbor. Our neighbor. This is liberty, folks. This is liberty. I watched a program this past week on 2020, I guess it was on Friday. Maybe you saw the program that they had about the lady who's now 41 years of old that was locked up for 10 years in a house with her children. She was only allowed out on certain occasions for birthdays or so forth, and they basically lived for 10 years locked up inside of a house in Omaha, Nebraska. She was a young girl. She was kind of heavy set in high school, never had a date, never had a boy ask her till she was a senior. And this young man came up to her and said, I'd like to take you out on a date. And that's how they began. And they started living with each other. And then they decided to get married. And they moved into this house. And then this boy started showing just what a jerk he was. He was always telling her, you're trying to find somebody else. I don't trust her. And so he would beat her, choke her. And then he went, and on every window, he blocked it out with tinfoil, screwed all of the window seals shut, went and put 2x4s all over the back doors where she could not get out, and then he padlocked the outside of the house as he left for work each day. One by one, children were born as she lived her life inside of that house in bondage. It finally got so bad that he began to abuse the children in the same way he was abusing her. And one of the children came, the little boy in the family, came up to her and said, Mommy, I'm going to stand up to Daddy so he doesn't hit you anymore. And she realized, I've got to stop this. So she called her mother, told her what had been going on for 10 years. They had suspected that something was up, but they didn't know what to do. And she said, I'm trapped here. I can't get out of my house. What can you do? So they called the police, and they worked out a scenario over a period of a week so they could catch him and arrest him and put him in prison. And it was all about, they finally broke the window before he got home. They had this thing all planned out. She began crying as she handed the children out the window of the house. And then she didn't want to come out. She sat there in the window. She didn't know whether she would come out or not because she was afraid. Finally, she stepped through the window. And she said, I began to breathe the fresh air. She said, I'd be in there at months at a time inside the house. No air conditioning, no ability to breathe. And she said, it was just like a fresh breeze. It was the breeze of freedom. They caught the guy, put him in jail. He was found, put in jail for 20 years. And the story came out that that's how that man grew up. He grew up as a child in the house, locked up by his father. That was the only way of life he knew. And so he was going to make his wife live that way. A life of what? Bondage. A life of bondage. bondage to certain expectation, bondage to assumptions, bondage to this, that, or the other. We don't want to break free from that. And Paul says, don't live that way. Don't live according to the Judaizers' expectations. You live according to the expectations of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, we're going to be held accountable for our liberty that Christ has given to us. Just like we're going to be held accountable for our speech, just like we're going to be accountable for our actions, just in that regard, we're going to be held accountable for what did we do with our liberty that He gave to us. Did we protect it? Did we keep it with all due vigilance? Or did we just cast it aside and live in bondage to men, to denominations, to certain expectations of family? Those are all ways in which we live in bondage. Amen? It's how people live. They won't make a decision about a child in their own home until they go check with a group of people to find out what they should do. Get in the Word. Get in the Word and find out what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do. The problem is we're lazy. We'd rather live in bondage. Oh, how sad. Paradox of liberty. Freedom from servitude. Now, in love, submit to servitude. Now, how does this work? We are, according to the passage of Scripture here before us, we are by love to serve one another. The highest position in the Lord's work is that of servant. When you have reached servant, you have reached as high as you can go. That sounds so difficult, doesn't it? Sounds so strange today. Where we've got to go places. We've got to be seen of men. We've got to be recognized. Wait a minute. What about just being labeled a servant of the Lord? Just a servant of the Lord. Are we satisfied with that title? Or do we need some other? Think about that. Are we satisfied with the title of servant of the Lord? Or do we think, well, there's got to be something better than that? If that's the case, you're in bondage. You don't understand liberty. Servant of the Lord. Now, when Christ fills the emptiness of our heart with His forgiveness, with His mercy, with His grace, and with His hope, He frees us from the bondage of the flesh, which always wants to accumulate things and manipulate people. Think about that. The flesh, and in bondage, thinks the way you do things is you accumulate things and you manipulate people. That's how the world operates. That's how Wall Street operates. How do you think an Enron got to be an Enron? It's on those two principles right there. You accumulate things and you manipulate people. That's how the world operates. But that's not how Christ operates. Christ operates on the principle of service, where it's not about accumulating things, it's about giving things unto the Lord's work. And it's not about manipulating people, it's about serving people. You talk about opposite contrast here. You talk about the difference between night and day, good and evil, right and wrong. Here it is, folks. And service to others and giving to the Lord's work is not bondage. It's love. That's how you look to your children, right? You want to take care of them. You want to see that they've got their needs met. You want to make sure that you have brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But so many times, we bring the world's philosophy, massing wealth, getting things, making sure that we manipulate people to get whatever we want to get. That is the devil, folks. That's the devil. And we must not submit to that. This is the paradox. There is no more fulfilling way to live than to draw daily on God's all-sufficient grace and let it flow through us to meet the needs of others. That's the Christian life right there. Given to us here in Galatians 5, verse 13. But by love, serve one another. What's the role of a pastor? A pastor is to serve. What's the role of a missionary on a foreign field? To serve. To serve. What about a Christian school teacher in a classroom? Serve. Well, how about an attorney in a law firm? Serve the Lord if they're a Christian. How about a businessman? Serve the Lord with the wealth that may be accumulated, to make sure that the work of God is funded, to make sure that the Lord's work is being able to be furthered. That's what it's about. It's not about accumulating and manipulating. It's about giving and serving. That's the Christian life. Now, we've just boiled it down to where we can understand it. That's what our Lord is sharing here through the Apostle Paul. People devote large hunks of their life to surrounding themselves with the comforts of this world, and they testify by that Christ has not filled the void of their heart to overflowing. They find, I've got to accumulate, I've got to manipulate in order to keep myself happy. You just tell others by that, I am completely devoid of the grace and mercy and hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm devoid, so I've got to find something to fill it. And that's what about 6.5 billion people are doing right now on this earth. They're trying to fill a void. In these third world countries that have nothing, what are they doing? They fill the void with religion and all kinds of strange belief systems. They fill the void by killing one another. You go to the sophisticated countries of the world and they're killing themselves with wealth. They're killing themselves with, how can I get power so I can dominate? That's the world's philosophy. That's bondage. Living the life of liberty, verses 14 through 15. Here we see love and law contrasted again. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this is not a commandment to love yourself. You see, we learn in 1 Corinthians 13 that love takes account of infirmity. Love makes no demands. Love imposes no conditions. Looks for no compensation. Delights in love. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 13. How about the law? What does the law delight in? It knows neither mercy nor compassion. It must condemn all that fall short of the absolute perfection of its demands. And thus finding fault in itself, law has to kill. Law has to pronounce judgment and kill. That's the best law can do. That's all that law can do. That's all it's empowered to do. It sets up a standard. If you fall short of that standard, you are condemned. You're guilty. You didn't meet the standard. Reject. You know, these assembly lines, you'll watch as they go through these inspection type stuff. I've watched a cameling process go on years ago over at Pitt's Egg Farm. It was an amazing thing. They would have the eggs on these great conveyor belts, and they would come in, and they would come through the candler, and there would be two men sitting there at the candler. And you would see them, they'd have their hands underneath there. If they found a double yolk, pull it out, put it aside. They sent it down this little conveyor belt, and it got bagged up differently. They were given away, or they were sold as double yolks. Then there would be some times where there would be a hatched chicken inside. Pull it out. Can't let that one go through. Talk about a surprise for breakfast in the morning. But their job was to collect rejects and to approve that which was acceptable. That's all they were empowered to do. They could not change the egg, though. Hey, if I really work this, I can pull one of those second yolks out. Here, I'll drill a little hole right here, and you get a straw, and you pull out that end, and we'll just have one yolk, and then we'll put a piece of tape on there, and we'll send it on its way. The law cannot change the egg. All it can do is approve or disapprove. Now, love, on the other hand, love for those who are lost, love for our neighbor, that is motivated through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into that when we get on later on in this chapter, when we get into the fruits of the Spirit. What's the first fruit? Love. Love. He's going to emphasize this. If your life is all about you and about your success and your health and you're this and you're that, then you better back up. You better back up and say, all right, Lord, I need to confess my sin. I need to be changed. It's not about me accumulating and manipulating. It's about me giving and serving. That is the Christian life. Now, let's go on here. Notice the warning that's given to us in verse 15. What is the opposite of not loving your neighbor as yourself? Well, verse 15, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This is taken from the animal kingdom. How many of you watched Omaha Wild Kingdom? I remember the guy with what was his name? He had the white mustache. Yeah, Marlon Perkins. He was the guy that sat up in the truck and he had his assistants go out and capture all the wild animals, you know. They just loved him, you know. Okay, Luther's going to go out and tackle this beast and bring it back in here to us. Go ahead, Luther. You know, Luther run out there, you know, and shoot and get clawed and everything, come back in. And that was Wild Kingdom. Used to watch it on Sunday nights. I guess it was either before church or after church. I remember that program. But I want to tell you something. Those animals in the animal kingdom are not concerned about loving each other. Lions don't sit around in their little groups and think about, what can we do for the impalas today? You know, we've been treating them awful lately. We've really decimated their tribe. Let's give them a party tonight. They're not thinking about them. All they see is a meal plate running across the prairie. Right? A buffet, if there's more than one. And all they think about is biting and devouring. This word bite in the Greek is about the initial bite of a hungry animal. What do? The lion goes for the jugular vein. That's the bite. They go for the jugular vein, they bite down, they clamp, cut, and then the animal passes out, and then they eat. All right? Now Paul is saying there are some who live in the church who are in bondage. They don't know what liberty is. They don't know what it means to serve others. They don't know what it means to give to the work of the Lord. All they know how to do is manipulate and accumulate. They go for the jugular, the bite. Said, you better watch out for that. To go for the jugular, to get what you want, and then to devour what you have killed. That's the picture that's given to us here. It's a process. Bite, devour, and consume. It's quite interesting that the extra Greek word is added there, not just to bite it and eat a little bit of it, but to what? Eat it all. Isn't it amazing how they will protect their prey? You'll see these lions that go after and they'll kill an animal, and then they'll eat, and then they'll ward off all the other animals that want to get the leftovers. And when they're fully satisfied, then they'll walk away and they'll leave a few bones for the rest of them to eat. Now, he is picturing here the Judaizers as that very group of people. They bite, devour, and consume. Where have we seen this before? Well, we've seen it way back in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. What do the thieves do? They steal, they kill, and they what? Destroy. Same pattern, same progression in the Greek language, same type of mood used. This mood of biting and devouring is in a tense that indicates complete lack of care. It's just bite, kill. That's the world of bondage. It's dog eat dog. It's kill or be killed. And that's the way a lot of churches live. That's how the work of the Lord is conducted on the earth. It's kill or be killed. You either climb to the top or you're going to get squashed on the bottom. That's not the life of liberty. That is the life of bondage. Oh, how we need as Christians to understand that the secret love is freedom. And the secret of freedom is utter confidence in the love and grace of God. Take heed, we read in verse 15, that ye be not consumed one of another. Take heed. Watch out for these Judaizers. They seek to consume you. They don't want just part of you. They want all of you. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. And he's not willing to give you up. Thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power that's found in the gospel that can snatch us from the claws of the devil and put us into the fold of Jesus Christ, where there is freedom, where there is liberty, to do what he pleases and to serve others, to give and to serve and be delivered from the kingdom where you just accumulate and you trample people, manipulate. causes us to examine our methodologies in the church today, doesn't it? Most of the methodologies that you will find in action today in the church are ones built on the model of what? Accumulation, manipulation. Most people don't know what servanthood is. All these people that are writing today got magazine articles by the gajillions on servanthood. They even make little towels. You know what? They'll mail you a towel so you can be a servant. And I walk around with my little towel while I manipulate and accumulate. Right? I've got my little towel, my servant towel. Listen, if you don't serve and you don't honor the Lord by giving, then you know nothing of freedom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, work in our hearts this morning. So many come to thy word with all kinds of assumptions, all kinds of preconceived ideas, and for the most part comfortable with bondage. There's a comfort level in bondage that people like. Certain expectations, and if I follow those expectations, then everybody will be happy with me. Lord, that's not the Christian life. That's how the devil confines and keeps folks from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We pray that your word would go forth in power this morning. Lord, deliver us from bondage. And help us, Father, to answer the call to liberty. Liberty not for license to go out and to serve myself and to sin and to accumulate things and manipulate people to get things, but Father, instead, to give to the precious work of God and to serve others. Because I have a Savior that's living within me. I have His Holy Spirit to empower me and to direct my thinking through the Word of God. Oh, Father, what a blessed thing it is to know the liberty of Jesus Christ, to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Father, help us not to go back. Help us to go forward in liberty, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.